The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about earnest training. At our Thanksgiving ceremony, which you had the other day, every Thanksgiving we have a festival in the morning, and we decorate the altar with flowers and fruit and vegetables, and we have these little paper turkeys, that, you know, the sort of lantern-type things that you fold around, and little turkeys and roosters that we put on the altar. Because of the turkeys and animals that get killed at Thanksgiving, Reverend Master Jiyu really wanted to kind of honor these beings, as so many of them get killed and not always treated with respect. And there's a plaque, a sort of memorial tablet we have up, which says, "In gratitude for the lives and earnest training of all beings." And it's a really interesting thing, "In gratitude for the lives and earnest training of all beings." And you think of these little roosters and turkeys and other animals, you know, earnest training, gratitude for their lives, certainly. And yet they are earnestly training all these creatures. You know, these, you see cows grazing out in the field with no idea of what's in store. Or, you know, other animals. You see your cat sort of lounging in the sun or then stalking off when you try to give it a treat. And you think, earnest training? But actually, yes. It's just being a cat, just doing its best. And in some ways it is easier to see earnest training in animals than in people, because they're simpler in some ways. Just, you know, seeing the birds raising their kids and other animals, you know, dealing with their offspring, just trying to live their life, doing the best they can. And it's not easy, even for pets. You know, they still have sickness, old age, disease and death. You go away, they don't know where you're going, when you'll be back. It's not easy for anybody. And gratitude and respect for all beings, the animals, the ones that get eaten, the ones that just live their lives as pets, or the ones that are wild and hopefully never see a human being. Gratitude and respect for them all. And then people were a lot more complicated. Sometimes you can see their earnest training, sometimes it's really hard. There's people all over the world doing their best to raise their kids, raise their families, live a good life, do their part, do their best. Sometimes in extremely difficult conditions, people do amazing things, come through just terrible hardships you couldn't believe, helping each other, helping other people in ways that are astonishing, and we never hear about them. But people all over the world are doing sincere and earnest training. Gratitude and respect for everybody, actually, because everybody's trying to do their best. And then there's people who do terrible things. We keep reading about them, hearing about them on the news. Over and over again, we have acts of terrorism and violence and war and all that kind of thing. Are they doing earnest training? They're certainly earnest. And in the way they're trying to do their best, in their own way, seeing things the way they see it, trying to do their best, although it can be terribly harmful and misguided. And it's hard to be grateful for these things. But maybe in the end we'll learn something. You just never know. Maybe we'll learn to listen to each other. Maybe something good does come out of all the awful stuff that happens. You know, I surely hope so. Well, what about our own earnest training? Earnest means, you know, sincere, serious, wholehearted. It doesn't mean grim. It's easy to get grim. We're not training in grimness. Sometimes it can feel pretty grim. You know, things are just hard. It just can feel kind of grim, but it's not the intention. We're not trying to cultivate grimness. Buddhist training is supposed to help us deal with suffering, not make us suffer more. Gratitude for the lives and earnest training of all beings. Gratitude for our own life and earnest training. Gratitude for the opportunity to meditate and find the Dharma. You know, it's a huge sea change, as we know. Gratitude for our circumstances. Gratitude for the very difficult circumstances we sometimes find ourselves in. The ones we wish would just go away. We'd like to get rid of them, fix them, you know. How can I fix this, get rid of it? Well, sometimes we can't. We just have something that we have to live with, deal with, do our best with. And whatever our situation, to do our best to accept it, to train earnestly within it, rather than in spite of it. You know, in spite of something is a kind of a spite there, you know, just training with something, within something, wholeheartedly accepting things as best we can, easier said than done. Seeing what we can learn from it. Somebody recently told me how grateful they were for the opportunity they had had to take care of an extremely difficult being. It had really helped them in their training, which had gone fairly smoothly up to then. And this person just glowed with gratitude. It was really impressive, earnest training indeed. I thought, wow, I should remember this, you know. To have a difficult situation, something that's really hard, goes on for a long time, and to be able to be grateful, glowing with gratitude. Mind you, they were glowing after it was over, but still. They were grateful even at the time. And that's really impressive, to be able to see the good in difficult situations. That is earnest training. And can we remember this, you know, when something unwelcome comes our way? Can we think, what can I learn from this? How can it help me? And actually feel grateful? Well, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's just really hard. But we can try to do our best. Earnest training doesn't mean trying to force something. As I said, it's not a grimness. It doesn't mean self-judgment, which is our great default. I think we're all prone to self-judgment, and it's not always helpful. We always feel we should be doing better, be doing more. We're never good enough. Our training's never good enough. A wise monk recently told me that self-criticism is not a good thing. We need to look at ourselves, yes, honestly and clearly, but not negatively, not being excessively critical. And how can we do that? How can we strike that balance? To look at ourselves clearly, see our mistakes and shortcomings, making our best effort, but not being excessively critical, not getting grim. To truly accept our weaknesses and shortcomings and still work hard on converting them. It's not easy to strike that balance because we tend always to fall off on one side or the other. Otherwise, either we're really hard on ourselves and we're getting grim. You know, this is just awful. We're in despair. Oh my God, I'm such a terrible trainee, nobody is as bad a meditator or trainee as I, you know. Or we can think, well, I'm doing my best, I'm doing okay, and kind of coast along and not really be making that best effort. It's hard to keep up the edge of our right effort and still be at ease within it because we tend to fall off one side or the other. Yes, I do. And when we find ourselves suffering about our terrible training, it's a clue that we're getting too grim. There's a self wanting to be something else, wanting to be better, purer, nicer, more enlightened, wiser, you know. And it's a suffering. And then, on the other hand, when you have that uneasy feeling that something's not quite right, you know, maybe we need to look and see if we're missing something we should be doing. There's a balance there. It's like sailing, you know, it's not a static thing. You're constantly adjusting the sails to the wind, one way or the other, a little more this way, a little more that way, a little more forward, a little more just, you know, hold back. Coming back constantly to the middle way, steering our course, it's a little bit like this, a little bit like that, but headed in the right direction. Our intention, that's what guides us, our intention to train, to do our best, our earnest aspiration for the way. That's what guides us. And what helps us to train with a bright heart, to trust that aspiration. Keeping up our effort and not getting grim about it and not just sort of slacking off either. To trust that pure aspiration and keep coming back to it. Faith. Looking up, remembering there's something a lot bigger than me, you know. Something much bigger than we can even see or imagine. Rather than always looking down at our shortcomings and mistakes, to keep looking up, there's something bigger than me and my suffering, my despair, my awfulness, my mistakes, and my, this, you know, the me. To keep remembering there's something greater that helps us, and to entrust ourselves to that. I keep saying this, I'm going to keep saying it. But it really helps us with that grimness that we can fall into, or, you know, kind of not doing, you know, not doing enough. It's like the story of the Buddha before his enlightenment. He's been really striving and forcing in this ascetic way and almost kills himself, almost dies. And then one of the guardian kings comes with his musical instrument and he plucks one string and it snaps because it's too tight. It plucks another string and there's no sound because it's too loose. And the third string resounds beautifully because it's just right. And he's trying to explain, you know, not too tight, not too loose, just right. No judgment in this, no self-castigation. It's just what helps. What helps with suffering, you know. Not trying to make ourselves feel bad, because we think that's what we should do. We have a bit of a tendency this way in the West. What actually helps? Because the purpose of the Dharma is to help with suffering. It's not to make some perfect being that we can't possibly aspire to. It's to help us with suffering as human beings in our human conditions. How do we do that? By constantly adjusting, constantly seeing how the wind is blowing, seeing how our training is going, seeing what we're, you know, we could do a bit more of this or a little bit maybe a little less of that. But without the judgment and without that getting hard on ourselves, but just, I think I just need to, you know, sit a bit more or just look at this uncomfortable thing, have a good look at it and see what do I need to do about this. It's a kindness, it's not a judgment. The Bodhisattva vow. I was reading about somebody who asked Maizumi Roshi once, if there's no self, you know, that continues from life to life, well, what continues? And he said, the Bodhisattva vow continues. I thought that was a wonderful answer. Yes, our karmic tendencies and our habits of mind continue, as I understand it, because that's our karma, that continues. And the Bodhisattva vow continues. And it's easy for us to forget this. There's actually this aspiration, this very strong, powerful thing that helps us and helps all beings, the Bodhisattva vow. In any case, just our aspiration for truth, our aspiration to be a good person, to try to do our best, to keep to the precepts, to help beings. And those who are not Buddhists and have never heard of the Bodhisattva vow, of course, their pure intention to do the best they can. Even people who do terrible things, who Who knows but what there may be some pure intention in there that maybe next time they will do something more skillfully. Because nobody is a completely bad person. People do terrible things, and all of us are part of Buddha nature. So to remember, you know, it's not just we are the good guys and they're the bad guys, or we're the bad guys and everybody else is the good guys. It's just not a matter of that. It's just people trying to do their best. To relinquish that judgment of good and bad and right and wrong and black and white and all that, and just to do our best, and to trust that aspiration, to trust our bodhisattva vow, to trust our trying to do our best, and other beings trying to do their best, animals, humans, whatever we see and don't see, trying to do the best they can, trusting that aspiration, and offering merit to all those beings who are in difficult circumstances, because all beings are fundamentally pure at heart and maybe trying to do the best they can in a very difficult situation sometimes. We just don't know what people have to endure, what they've been through. Gratitude for the lives and earnest training of all beings is lovely. And gratitude for our own life and our own earnest training. Gratitude for this opportunity to practice the Dharma. How lucky we are, you know, to be able to hear the Buddha Dharma and put it into practice. It is indeed deeply life-changing. A rare thing. Don't make it into a millstone. Don't make it grim or a thing to despair about or some kind of impossible thing to try and measure up to and fall hopelessly short. Is to help us. The Buddha Dharma is to help us to do our best, keeping on the way in faith and entrusting ourselves to that which is greater than we are. To keep looking up to that. Not just looking down at our little shortcomings, mistakes and miseries, but keep looking up at the bigger picture. And after all, as we say, it's not about us. It's about being part of that, harmonizing with that great matter. That's why we keep to the precepts. That's why we try to help beings, because we are all part of that. No matter what it looks like, animal, human, the seeming good people, the seeming not so great people, all of us are in it together. And to remember that, and just keep doing our best as part of that great matter. That's our talk for today. Thank you.
Thank you.